The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good afternoon. Are you ready for Double Time with Double D? Go behind the scenes of the NFL and the game with Dave Duerson. We want to hear your words, too. Don't be afraid to speak up. Now, here's your host, Dave Duerson, Double D.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Double Time with Double D. I'm your host, Dave Duerson, and it is truly a pleasure to be back with you today to discuss everything in the world of football, in particular the National Football League, and we have been on this subject for some 3 weeks now. We're going to close it out today, that being, what in the football? As if in to say, what in the hell? And today, in particular, we're going to talk in terms of the sense of entitlement that apparently is just running rampant right now. You know, we're at a pandemic stage in the NFL. We've got quarterbacks that are simply losing their minds, and we're hearing about, you know, a new quarterback every week that has something else going on. But in order to begin our show, I'm bringing in our director of sports, Ray Ellis, who, of course, is a great, great safety from the University of Ohio State, played some incredible NFL football for the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cleveland Browns. And, Ray, I bring you in because in starting off today's show, we dedicate this show to one of the quarterbacks who did it right, and that being Randall Cunningham. And in particular to our listening audience, Randall Cunningham, who was a great NFL quarterback with the Philadelphia Eagles just a couple of days ago on Tuesday, lost his three-year-old son, Christian, in an accidental drowning in their backyard hot tub. Randall, in fact, was not home at the time, was in San Diego. So we are dedicating today's show to one of the men who did it right and continues to do it right. So I bring in to have this portion of the discussion and to join us throughout the course of our discussion today, Ray Ellis. Ray, glad to have you with me.
Well, yeah, Dave, and I certainly appreciate it having me on the show. I always enjoy whenever I get a chance to speak with you and to talk about something that we love so much. But today is a sad day, you know, when you think about what's transpired a couple of days ago. And Randall is a friend of mine, and Randall was just a dynamic quarterback, really changed the whole position of quarterback.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And made such a great impact on the game that made people start reconsidering the position of quarterback. And I believe that one day Randall will get his chance to walk up on that stage and become a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But let me say that my prayers go out to him. I can't even imagine. I just ask the good Lord Jesus just to build up his strength that he might go on. You know, Randall's a man of faith, a man of the cloth, and he's just the only. I have a couple pictures I have in my office. As I sit here and I look on the wall, I have a picture of the stadium, of course, where I played at Ohio State, and then I have a big poster. And it's not a poster of myself. It's a poster of quite a few young men that I supported as a fan, that I bought tickets for, season tickets to go watch them play. And on this poster is Reggie White and Fred Barnett and Keith Byers and Wes Hopkins and Andre Waters and Seth Joyner and Eric Allen. And one of your good friends, Jim McMahon,
yeah.
Herschel Walker is also in the picture. But the biggest of them all, as it stands on this poster, mm-hmm. is Randall Cunningham. The only physical picture, my son has a picture of me in his bedroom, but we have a caricature of one of those toys that is wrapped up and sealed, a collector's item.
Yeah, I've got Randall Cunningham. I've got my own little collector's item Those were figurines.
That's right. Those figurines. Yeah. I got a Randall Cunningham one in my house. So Randall's my friend, but as a man who played ball, you know, outstanding football player. But the fact that he has lost a 3-year-old child, I just, in my wildest imagination, Dave, I can't imagine what would be going through his head. You know how heavy his heart must be, but I just thank God that he's a man of faith, and so hopefully he won't question. He'll understand, you know, because I truly don't. And to be away and then have to come back. Oh God, Dave, I just pray for him. Just pray for him.
You know, that's the challenge, Ray. That, you know, for all of us who walk this walk of faith and are godly men and men of God, but in the case of Randall, in fact, is the pastor and founder of Remnant Ministries in Las Vegas, and in fact, it is a hyper growth ministry that's growing throughout the Las Vegas area and throughout the valley there. And I've got several friends who, in fact, attend the services at his church. And I can, again, like you, only begin to imagine what Ray is going through. But first and foremost, we know him to be a man and to be human, so we know that he truly is in pain.
Yes, he is.
And, Randall's a friend of mine and a colleague. And so, you know, you were there in 87 when you guys came to Chicago and we played you in the Fog Bowl, weren't you?
No, I was not. As a matter of fact, I did not see that game. And I think that was was that 87 or was that 89, Dave?
That was 87. It was actually 87 or 88. I think it was 87, but you say you didn't see it. I didn't see it either, and I was there.
Yeah, you know, that again, one of those games, whereas, again, Randall, you know, played a damn good football game, but was that day. That day it was destined for you guys to win that game, you know. But yeah, that's one of those games that go down in history. I mean, if ever there was a football game that perhaps maybe should have been delayed, if not, you know, just postponed. Period. I think it should have been that game. But somehow or another, you know, great athletes put on a great show that day, because that was a very good football game.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, just in mentioning Randall as we start this particular show, Ray. You know, I was talking earlier, just as we started the show, and we've been discussing this now for a month in regards to the Ben Roethlisberger. Well, we've been on Ben now for like 2 months, but just can't even begin to understand what the commissioner is thinking there. But at every turn, we keep hearing about quarterbacks. We've been dealing with Ben Roethlisberger for at least 4 weeks, if not 10. We've just recently heard about Vince Young and a fight that he got involved with at a strip bar, like 2 a.m, with the manager of the strip bar, I believe in Texas, and now he's got a meeting planned in front of the commissioner. And then, as of only a few days ago, Michael Vick has a birthday party, and at a club back in his hometown area of Virginia. And 3 minutes after he leaves the club, one of the gentlemen that he was involved with in regards to the dogfighting ring and what have you, was shot. Understand, though, that officials are not particularly interested in Michael Vick, but we're talking about, you know, what's going on with all these quarterbacks.
Yeah, what in the football, I believe.
What in the football. But in regards to, you know, having heard about Randall, then my thought process, Ray, went to the other side of the challenges, particularly of quarterbacks, because, you know, beginning to think in terms of the Dan Marinos, the Jim Kellys, the Boomer Esiason's, just to name three, but there's several quarterbacks in the National Football League, or guys who've played in the National Football League, who have children that are autistic, and I in terms of thinking about this thing, you know, in terms of the way the Lord works, He doesn't put more on us than we can bear, but quite frankly, he addresses those of us who are strong, so that we can continue to draw others to the faith. But in regards to, you know, the things that we're seeing, you know, with this particular position, and now, of course, you know, having lost Christian, it just seems to me that this is the perfect time for our entire community. Anybody that's under the sound of my voice and yours right now, but more importantly across this country, if not this world, to wake up you know, just to understand that, you know, that we too are human beings. We too suffer, and we suffer pain. You know, we've talked about Everson Walls and, you know, his love for his teammate Ron Springs and giving him a kidney and all of these things. But a class act like Randall Cunningham, one would think that, particularly for these individuals who are involved in the game right now, who have a wonderful opportunity, Michael Vick, Vince Young, et cetera, that these guys would want to mirror an individual like a Randall Cunningham, as opposed to going down the road with all these other rogue guys who've been playing this game. And this game is so short, Ray. You know, the average career is what? Only 3.2 years.
3.2, Dave. And it's really interesting the way you painted that picture, because I just – this past weekend, I believe, my children and I sat down and we watched, I believe it was a rebroadcast. It wasn't a rebroadcast. It was a live broadcast of the BET Awards. And Jermaine Jackson got a chance to introduce, and didn't even introduce him by name, but introduce somebody who didn't have the opportunity to pay tribute to his brother, because of some things that happened to him at that particular time, and they didn't think it was the right stage for him to be on, because it would distract attention from Michael's homegoing, and it would have been more questions about this man and his activities. Mm-hmm. But that young man was Chris Brown. Mm-hmm. And as he went through his performance, at the very end of his performance, he had a chance to perform to a song that Michael had written and performed to many people, Man in the Mirror. And Chris could not perform that. And I believe in my own little mindset that he couldn't get through that. And the reason why he couldn't get through that, because of the words of the song. Mm. And then it was, of course, his mentor, of which he was trying to pay tribute to. But then he felt the effects of the things that he had did.
Yeah.
That did not bring honor to Michael and would not have brought honor to Michael. And so he got caught up in the emotion. You know, sometimes, you know, there needs to be, you know, somehow, for lack of a better word, something needs to shake us up and wake us up and make us realize. I read your e-card about the show description today, about the show. We're going to talk about you know, the entitlement, of which some people have been led to believe that they are entitled to play this game. I think with Michael Vick, you know, perhaps maybe Michael Vick and Vince Young, because you can't tell me in the deepest of the inside of their hearts that they don't have a little bit of Randall Cunningham in them. And for them to stop and think what happened to Randall, it's like, wow, just like the Lord give it to us, he can take it away from us. And all this that I have, he can just put his hand on me and I will have it no more. And so I'm hoping that they look at this and they decide that, you know what, I need to be a Randall Cunningham of this game. And I need to carry this game and this shield, my name, my family's name, my own name, and I need to bring honor to it and not shame. You know, some people believe that it is indeed it is an honor to play in the league, you know, and everybody feels if, you know, when you're playing for the NFL, this is something that you should hold in very high regard. I do believe that too. But, you know, as far as a privilege, I got to stop and think about if, you know, if I want to say it's a privilege.
You
work too hard and you got to put a lot into it.
Yeah, you got to overcome too many obstacles.
That's exactly right. And, you know, when you say privilege, then you make me think that, okay, there's some privilege and there's some who's not. So I don't want to go there. But all those other things I will agree with. And because of that, Randall was a part of something that was called an exclusive club. You know that, the quarterback club.
Yes, indeed.
You know, and the quarterback club is supposed to hold this league and this brand in such a high regard and represent it. And so I hope they look at Randall and what he represent and just think about, you know, let me pay tribute and homage to Randall Cunningham by turning this thing around, because I know Randall's going through some bad times right now. He's always going to be in the limelight because of who he is. When he shows up, everybody knows who he is.
That's right.
And now his name is in the public. These guys should step up and do some things. Now let me change some things. Let me play this game and honor this game the way Randall did.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, as you just pointed out, Randall has stature, number one. And then two, he's got that brilliant smile.
Oh, yes.
You know, he's standing 6'4", 6'5".
That's right.
He's got this brilliant smile. He's a man of the cloth. And, you know, he's genuinely just a good man, a good person. And And you know, you just feel better, quite frankly, when you're around individuals like a Randall Cunningham. And I'm honored to know Randall and have played against him and played with him in some Pro Bowls. But as we discuss, you know, continue to discuss this thing about the NFL, you know, as we always say, though, Ray, you know, this game is not for long.
And, no.
But in like stead, you know, to all of our listeners out there, you know, life is not for long. And clearly it was time for Christian to be called home. His work here was done.
Yes.
But that for each of us who are still here, we've got a job to do. So, you know, that's part of the challenge is that each of us finds that which is our calling.
That's right.
Step to
that's
it right. And make a difference. I believe we've got Kim on the line with us, too. So we're going to bring her in so that we can begin to shift our conversation. But, Kim, it's good to have you on with us, too. Welcome to Double Time with Double D.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be on with you two gentlemen again.
Absolutely.
Let me to extend my condolences to Randall Cunningham because he was absolutely one of the stars of his day, greatly admired by me as a fan. And, yes, I'm an Eagles fan, too.
All right. I like that.
Right. Well, you know, as much as I didn't want to be an Eagles fan, you know, I really enjoyed, you know, in part because Buddy Ryan was there, you know, that whole thing. But playing against Philly was one of my great loves because we were playing at a higher level when we played against the Eagles, in part because we had to. The emotional level, you know, was so high between both the Bears and the Eagles, and it was certainly true, too, when I was with the Giants, both being in the NFC East. And, Ray, you know about that divisional.
Oh, yes.
Man, that's, you know, that's just some hard-hitting, nasty football. That's just, I mean, every hit, man, you're wiping your nose, you know. But,
well, and from a fan's perspective, I think even though you all in the East, in your division, in that giant Eagles NFC division, I think you all took every game as a personal attack. Even though you may have had season rivals, you all went very, very hard at it. We loved it as fans.
Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't have a choice because we only played 16 games, which – you know, I think I might have said last week, that's why I've never been a fan of the NBA, the National Basketball Association, except at playoff time, because that's the only time when all 11 or 12 guys on each roster come to play. And, you know, and right. Other than that, it appears to me that guys take days off, but or games off, I should say. But that's never the case in the National Football League because we only play in a 16-game schedule, which may, in fact, now be expanded to 18 if collective bargaining between the two parties goes according to plan. But, Kim, I'm glad that we've got you on now. You being our legal analyst, wanted to discuss this whole thing about Michael Vick.
Oh.
And Vick only leaving the club 3 minutes before Qantas Phillips was shot. And that the police have video, of course, which speaks to it. But, you know, I was just thinking about that, though. You know, how would Vick know? You know, Vic, of course, didn't know what time, you know, he left the club. He left the club. But, you know, we understand that there's video there and what have you. And, you know, and that's somewhat of a freak kind of a thing. But you know, the statements that were made by both the police and Vic's attorney, quite frankly, the statement has been made that that Phillips had touched the hand of Vic's girlfriend who had slapped his hand away. But Michael, of course, has said that he didn't have any contact whatsoever with Phillips. And if Phillips had just gotten there to the club, I think Vic did the right thing by leaving. Or at the point when he noticed that this Qantas Phillips person was in the club, that he left. But my question to you, Kim, you know, in regards to the fact that the police have already stated that Michael Vick is not a person of interest in regards to this situation, of course, you know, the commissioner has made his statement that, well, you know, Michael's, you know, a player in the spotlight, so, you know, so I need to have another conversation with him, et cetera. You know, where do we draw this line? Because I think the commissioner has been completely to the left as it pertains to Ben Roethlisberger, completely to the right as it pertains to Michael Vick and quite frankly, just, you know, all these black athletes who've had any kind of incident or running with the law whatsoever. So I'd love to get your perspective because you bring the legal perspective, you bring the fan perspective, you bring the female perspective. And in each of those instances, those are rich and unique and necessary for a large part of our listening audience.
Well, I have so many problems with Michael Vick right now, and I am a big, when he came back, I wanted nothing more than to see him succeed and to do well. And when Donovan went to the Redskins, I hoped upon all hope that he would take this opportunity to move into the number one spot and show everybody that his life has turned around and everything has changed. But there's so many different, there's so many things wrong with this scenario, it's hard to know where to begin.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, with regard to this man even being there, well, let's start with this timeline. Michael Vick gave the police a timeline, and I'm not quite sure what the ins and outs of that timeline were, but they took it at face value, and they said Michael Vick was not of interest. Well, now that they have access to the video, some of the timeline doesn't match up to Michael Vick's story. So now, even though they don't think he is arrested, they're taking a second look at him and his involvement and have now discovered that his brother had something to do with the incident. Now, his brother just got out of jail. Michael's out of jail. And you got somebody who was allowed to come into your party, whether you knew it or not, and I... For whatever reason, the people at the door did not see this man or stop him at the door, however he got into this party. It is a violation of probation for Michael Vick to even be anywhere near this man.
Mm.
So in addition to that, he now has this problem. And his brother, who is involved somehow now. So, I mean, I'm just looking at Michael going, why don't you just have your family? Is it really necessary for you to go to a club and have a party at this early stages of your release and in early stages of the redevelopment of your career? I'm not quite sure how, what sense and what judgment took place to make him think he could go out and have this huge nightclub party and still be out partying at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning and think everything was just going to be fine.
I take this other side of this, though, because, you know, Vic has been exemplary.
He has.
Out of prison, and he's done everything the commissioner's asked him to do. He's been incredible on the field in terms of when he's got his opportunity to play, but apparently he's been a great teammate and, you know, to all of his teammates there in Philadelphia. He's done everything that he's been asked to do. And even again, you know, with the statement that the police, you know, made in regards to Michael himself, he is not a person of interest. Granted, this guy Qantas Phillips walks into the club, you know, because even if I knew Qantas Phillips or whatever, of course I don't. I was the bouncer, you know. It may not have hit me at that moment that hey, you know, this guy cannot be here because Vic's here, whatever. But more importantly, let's say that Michael's out at the mall, and you know he's getting ready to go into a movie theater or something like that, and Phillips happens to walk by. Does Michael then have to jet out of the mall, or can he just do his best to simply avoid the guy? I mean, at what point does some common sense or just reality come into this mix, Kim? Where, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the fact that Michael left the club, that says to me that he did not want to be around this guy, and that he was getting out of there as quickly as possible. What we've yet to hear, you know, with any real detail, is at what point this guy got to the club. As I understand it, he was just approaching from the outside when Vic and his party left in the two vehicles. So sounds to me as though, you know, the Qantas Phillips person, as soon as he arrived at the club, Michael was informed, and those guys are getting out of there. But isn't there some common sense that has to come into play?
Yeah, and I think that's why when everybody was rushing to say something when the incident first happened, you hear less reports about it at this point. Because they do have to turn around and make sure that they are letting the right information get out.
Right.
During their investigation, they're going to find out at what point, if at any point Michael knew that the man was even in the club. For all we know, Michael could have been on it. He decided 2:30 was late enough and was on his way out the door when he saw the man in the club. And as it turns out, one of the statements that's also circulating is that the gunshots that rang out, even though that man was hit, was in the direction of Michael Vick's car as it pulled off. So, you know, it's so much still, left unknown. But, it's for him to even be in this situation at this point really just puts a damper on his progress and gets people back into those who did not want Michael there in the first place, who were not willing to give him a break and an opportunity to reclaim his career. It just gives them another opportunity to say, see, look what happened.
Yeah.
And basically, we really don't know. It's still so many theories and things being circulated at this point, and we really don't know because the police have not finished the investigation. Right now, even the involvement with his brother, that is a theory that's being circulated. No one really knows to what extent or what if or, you know, what involvement, if any, his brother had. So it's the timeline discrepancy. Well, what if Michael said, well, I was leaving around 2 o'clock and it was actually 2:20? That's not a big enough discrepancy to try and point the finger at this man because
right.
Unless he was keeping track of the watch, he just said it was around 2 o'clock and 2:20 is around 2 o'clock. So it's just too much still left unknown until the investigation is finished. But I do feel really bad for him that he is being placed in this bad light this close to the season when actually he has done everything that everybody has said. And you don't really want to lock the man down and say, look, stay in your house. Don't go out. Don't talk to nobody because, you know, this could happen to you. You don't want to really do that. But he's just being blown into a really difficult situation at this point.
Well, he may just have to stay in his house. Ray, training camp for Philly starts in the next 2 or 3 weeks. You know, we're coming into the dog days, man. You know, today is July the 1st, and the one thing that we know is training camp. So before we go to break, you got any comment that you'd like to add as it pertains to Michael Vick and this charade of situations and incidents in which he finds himself?
Yeah, I was actually going to ask Kim if she could perhaps maybe for those of us out there who are not really sure how the law really works and when it comes to a stipulation in one's parole where it says that you're not allowed to come within, let's say, 500 feet or 1,000 feet of someone or it becomes a violation of your parole. I mean, is the law, I mean, is it to the word and to the degree that if Michael and this guy happen to be in the same club and it pushes right up to the amount of distance between the two, that they actually could, you know, look at that as a violation of his parole and he could find himself back in jail?
Yes, that's the question. I'm sorry, Kim. That's the question I was posing, too, as it pertains to, you know, if he's at the mall.
Yeah.
And So I tell you what. Because I think that this is going to be a long-winded answer because you know, we're going to debate this thing and I want to make sure we pay some bills first, too. So can you hold on with us, Kim?
Absolutely.
Okay. To our listening audience, you listen to Double Time with Double D. I'm your host, Dave Duerson, and right now we're discussing the quarterbacks and this sense of entitlement. And, of course, we've dedicated today's show to Randall Cunningham and his family because of the loss of his 3-year-old son, Christian. But when we come back, we're going to further discuss what's happening with Michael Vick and this whole thing about his parole. So don't go away. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Each week, take a visit inside the locker room of your favorite sport with Dez Clark. Paul, Fresh Clark, and Lester Scudder Davis as they bring you Sportsmanlike Conduct. As a current player, Des Clark can bring you inside the sports world like nobody can. His co-hosts represent the fans of the sports world. With both points of view on the table, it becomes an engaging and entertaining program, to say the least. Sportsmanlike Conduct can be heard Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
We all share similar desires: to be loved, to be happy, and to feel well. Your Inner Journey is here to support you, inspire you, and expand your knowledge of you. Tune in for new insights, meet our guests, get the inspiration you need to create the life you really want. Your Inner Journey with Penny Calcina is about her inner journey and your inner journey and the things that connect us all. Tune in every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time for Your Inner Journey on Seventh Wave Network.
High school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to Double Time with Double D, featuring host Dave Duerson. Get in on the action. Call us now at 1-888-346-9144. For Double D, that's 888-346-9144. Or drop an email to DoubleDFans@ddfavor.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Double Time with Double D. I'm your host, Dave Duerson. We are live. It is 3:33 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, July the 1st, 2010. And Dion, our executive producer, is manning the phones. And to you in the listening audience, you did hear our phone number given out, 888-346-9144. We welcome you to call in because we want to get your comments as well. And I'm going to be reading some email comments from some of our fans who have hit us up on my Dave Duerson fan page on Facebook. But we're having a discussion right now with Ray Ellis, our director of sports of Voice America Sports, and a great NFL player with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cleveland Browns, and also with Kim Harper, our legal analyst. And we are discussing at this very moment Michael Vick. And the question that Ray had raised before we went to break was in regards to this issue of probation, and that, and what that means as it pertains to staying away from folks, Kim, where the court issues a 500-foot rule or whatever it is, and what happens if you're in a mall? What happens if you're in the same four walls?
Well, they don't really say stay within 500 feet of this one and that one. It's more of an admonishment to say, now that you have gone through the criminal process, you can no longer have major association with.
Yes.
So Michael Vick's problem would really come into play if he invited this man to the party, knowing that he was a convicted felon. He's
mm-hmm.
not supposed to really do that. That association has now been severed. He is not supposed to have that kind of contact. So I think Michael Vick becomes in the clear if this man's name was not on the guest list, and somehow you all have been to many parties held for your birthdays, especially when you're talking about a public club. You may have the VIP section of that club, and actually the rest of the club is open to the public. If that man were in that club, uninvited or not on the guest list, or invited intentionally by Michael Vick, he does have some leeway. He does have some out. Because you cannot control, like you said, somebody coming into the same mall at the same time.
Right.
Or you being in a movie theater and the person happens to come there. You don't know who's in the movie theater with you.
Right,
so
right. Well,
it's not so much that as it is the association.
Right. And the reason I bring this up, though, too, is that to our listening audience, this was not a demand brought down by the court. This was Roger Goodell saying that he needs to disassociate himself with these characters. Now, certainly, I would imagine the judge said, you need to use some common sense and change out your friends. And without question, I think that's great advice. But it's the commissioner of the National Football League, Roger Goodell, who is holding this so-called gavel at this point, and and this potential additional scrutiny that Michael is under has only come into play as a result of comments made by the commissioner. The police themselves have said that Michael is not of interest, so he's in the clear from the legal perspective. It's just a question as to what this means with Roger Goodell. But we don't want to spend all of our time in regards to Michael Vick, because there's so much other stuff going on in terms of this world of this sense of entitlement, and we've got about another 20 minutes or so, and we've yet to discuss Vince Young. We've got a former Chicago Bear and one of the running backs, Cedric Benson, who's now with the Bengals, who was charged for an incident that happened in late May, whereby he's been charged with assault. And, these things are just rampant right now across the National Football League. And my great concern is the number of young men who want to play at this level, who idolize all of these guys and are getting mixed signals. But let's be real about this. Again, as I said, at the very beginning, professional athletes are human too. But this sense of entitlement, Ray, has now... It's now beginning to transcend sport. We've even got four-star generals, thinking that they have the right to act up against the President of the United States.
Yeah, and the four-star general, if I'm not mistaken, I think the hammer came down and he realized that who was in charge.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what's happening a little bit with
allow him to retire as a four-star general.
There you go. Mr. Goodell feels that he is the person that is in charge, and ultimately he's going to make the decision for his players. But like you said, football, I think the wide receiver Jackson for the San Diego Chargers, he just had an issue, personal conduct issue. I think he's been suspended for three games. You got the Detroit Lions, I think, is their GM, who was just, he has a DUI.
Yes.
There's a DUI now at athletic director down at University of Georgia, I believe it is. There's issues there. It's interesting, Dave, and I bring it to the airways many times because it's important to me. I have a young 17-year-old son, and I try to point out to him just last night, he wants to make his point, well, Dad, it's been a long time, and I just did this. California, and there's some other states, and Kim knows this probably better than you and I, they have a three-strike rule, three and you're out. We don't want it to get it to that degree, but my son tries to justify it by saying it wasn't that bad and I just did this. And I think that's what some of the players are looking at in the scheme of things, with the exception of a few of these things that have been involved with guns and weapons. That, for me, when it comes to sports, guns and weapons never was involved with sports. When you hear about the Pac-Man Jones, and now you hear about with the Michael Vick incident,
right.
When you start and then there was the Ray Lewis incident, those violent crimes associated with athletes, that really catches me, by surprise, because we've never been those type of people. We played a very violent sport, and we believed in, I'll go in the weight room and we'll take it to the gym or to the ring and we'll handle our business that way, but not in a violent way where we're using weapons and guns. And it's DUI, these type of things. I really do believe that, in a way, and I find it hard because I had Sean Salisbury on my show, and Sean said he's a player and he always thinks from a player perspective and he's on the player side. I too am always on the player side. But the more I look at my 17-year-old son and I try to see things through his eyes, sometimes the young kids, even though we don't think, they are trying to emulate other people that they see that are older than they are, and they think they're doing the right things, and many times they're following the wrong thing about that person. Like Charles said, watch me play basketball, don't watch what I do in my house. So at home, we just need to reinforce those things at home. I don't care how old that person is. If you've got some friends, those friends that are with them, they need to just
you know, remind them, hey, maybe you don't need to go in this club. Maybe you don't need to have that drink and drive, you know. Maybe you don't need to do whatever it is that, you know, the next day you wake up, your name's going to be in the paper. And there's a chance that if you do this, you might lose your job or you might be suspended and lose millions of dollars. I really just think that they just need that additional support there. I know they're grown men.
Yes.
But sometimes we need somebody there to help us, you know, make the right decisions.
Absolutely. Well, and to our listening audience, those of you who are parents or mentors, et cetera, you know, you can catch our shows. In fact, all of our shows can be replayed on iTunes. In fact, they're downloadable for free. And for you, those of you who are parents and mentors, be certain that you grab some of these conversations that we've had on Double Time with Double D, because we get into some deep subjects and we dig deep to get to the truth of the matter. And we're certainly going to do that as we're attempting to do right now today. Ultimately, it boils down to accountability and responsibility. And that is the charge. And so to the extent that you've got sons and daughters, that matter, who are involved in sport and what have you, but just in terms of conduct itself, that's why, you know, I take such great pride. But more importantly than that, I have a tremendous sense of ownership in regards to what we share on the show and its content and why, and particularly why, because ultimately we want to reach some people and try and make a difference. And so I'm especially happy to have Ray Ellis on with us, our director of sports, and Kim Harper, our legal analyst, so that we can begin to dive into some of these things. But, you know, we have spent the last 4 weeks talking about the crazy nature of the things that have been going on in the world of pro sports, pro professional football, just over these last 4 weeks. And it was just last week since last Thursday's show that my former teammate and another of our great colleagues, Lawrence Taylor, was indicted in regards to the rape charge with the 16-year-old young lady in New York. So there again, we're talking about issues of conduct and how one carries themselves. But this is probably the proper time for us to segue Ray and Kim into some of the additional comments and questions that I've received from some of our radio listeners of Double Time with Double D. And this one, in fact, comes from one of our fans, David Herman. And he's getting into the question as it relates, Kim, to the discussion we were having last week. And, Ray, you'll love this, too. In fact, I think you both will, being members of the Big Ten. David Herman asked, with two teams leaving the Big 12 – and one team joining the 11-man Big Ten, does the Big 12 become the Big Ten? And does the Big Ten become the Big 12?
Everything's big. You know, everything's big now, Dave. You know, it's just amazing, you know. And we all know. I mean, we have a person here who has a legal background. We have, two other, very educated men, who've also been a part of this sports. But this is it's all about business.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I would really like to see when, we can start, why don't we just put it into the school systems and actually educate these young people about the business of sports? Because the business is affected by your conduct as well. You can affect the business. The brand is so important. I don't care if it's a high school team, if it's a college team, if it's a professional team. And so the more they educate these young men and these young women about the business of sports, I think the better off they'll be. And they'll understand some of the things that's happening. Because until, Kim explained it to me thoroughly, and that's why I asked the question about, how you really look at the issue of Michael's probation and if he was in violation of that probation or not, Roger Goodell is really the guy who's got the issue, not the legals, the judicial system based upon his probation. He's okay.
Yes.
But there's a different set of laws. And that's what it is about college athletics when you realign these conferences. This is about the business of college football. And so let everybody understand it and explain to them why you're doing it instead of, like you said, oh, I thought I was a part of the Big Ten. I'm now a part of the Big 12, or the Big Ten really has 11 teams in it. Oh, you know, it's just, it's really about business. And,
yeah.
and let's educate everybody so we have a better understanding and probably a better appreciation for it if we understand the business side of it as well.
Right. Well, you know, with this issue, Kim, of the fact of the matter is that it is big business. And, you know, of course, we see the exact same problems that we're seeing in the National Football League. We see at the collegiate level. So, you know, so where do we, again, place this this responsibility at what level? And then we're going to, because I'm taking this somewhere, but where does this responsibility go? I mean, aside from the fact that obviously we know that the parents have to take ultimately responsibility, but before the number of hours that these players, that these student-athletes are spending with coaches and what have you, and in the classroom, away from home for those 4 years, you know, right. what level of responsibility do we place upon these colleges and universities in terms of the conduct and the character of these kids and shaping these young men and women over the course of their 4 years and where they go once their 4 years of college eligibility is up?
Well, I'm not really going to pass the buck. I'm going to say it lies within the family, because the Bible says, raise up a child in the way you want them to go, and they will not
depart from it.
Stray far from that.
Right.
But and what you're finding is that there are so many economic factors being held in the family that most of these kids are put in a position of having to be the head of families and the economic source of a family, when the bottom line is they are children. They are not supposed to be your breadwinners. They are supposed to be your children.
Right.
And they are put in positions of having to take care of the you know, the wayward sister and father and the mothers and the brothers and sisters. And that is not really their responsibility. It's being placed on their shoulders. But a lot of these things that are happening because they are bad decisions on people who now think that, oh, my God, I've got extra money. I can just go and do anything, and they feel like they have to cut loose and are cutting loose in the wrong way. And that is just the bottom line, because if you have had 18 years of good rearing, somebody letting you know what's right from wrong, and you actually doing that, and I mean that being placed in your heart and not just something you're trying to, not the ones who do it right in front of your mother and then you sneak out the back and you do it differently when she's not there.
Right.
When you have 4 years by yourself, there are people you're going to look at and say, I don't want to be that person's friend anymore, because I know that they're not going in the right direction. Because really, it really comes down to a personal decision you have to make. You know, great for Michael Vick. He made a bad decision the first time, but now he knows he has to be more careful.
Yeah.
Marvin Harrison, he got arrested for that gun charge, for that, and which people might suspect is in that 2008. But 2 weeks ago, you know, he's still carrying a gun.
Right.
And he got pulled over for driving in the wrong direction on a one-way street. And
right.
Now you got another gun in the car. I mean, how at some point you have to take responsibility for yourself and your
exactly.
decisions. And
exactly.
instead of parents going, look at this guy and seeing how much money he makes, look at his car, look at his woman, look at these women, look at that house, why don't you say, look at the decision he's made, look at how well or how badly he's impacted himself.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was speaking to in regards to this issue of accountability and responsibility. And you're most certainly right that obviously, you know, it initially takes place at the home. Before these young men and women, when they go off to college, the universities, the colleges and universities have these young men and women when they are at the most critical point in their lives.
Sure.
When they are truly being shaped and they are leaving their adolescence and they are then going into manhood and womanhood. So I do believe that the universities and colleges bear some responsibility there. But now, you know, you've got these young men who just got drafted in April and are now signing their NFL contracts, and they're signing these huge deals, and, you know, their lives have been drastically changed.
Right.
And they've lived in this bubble, Ray, all of their years in college, and now they're in the National Football League. Just today, the NFL Rookie Symposium came to a close out in Carlsbad, California, which is in the San Diego, California. It's a beautiful area. In fact, I know the resort that the guys were at. And I'm sitting here as we're having our conversation. I've got my cigar in my one hand. I've got my phone in my left. And I've got my NFL Symposium windbreaker on from 1999 when I, along with John Elway, Marcus, and Anthony Munoz spoke to the players in regards to success in the NFL and success after. That would be Marcus Allen. But I would think that anybody knows football, if you say, just say Marcus.
That's right.
In the National Football League, you know who I was talking about. But at that symposium, and where these guys just adjourned at about noon today, for the last 5 days, those guys have been there learning, quote-unquote, life skills, how to manage themselves in those situations. Ray, you can recall at the time when we were in the league, they didn't have a symposium, but NFL security would come in.
Yes.
The team has its own NFL FBI agent. NFL security would come in, and we'd have this conversation about all these ways in which to go about protecting ourselves and how we have to carry ourselves. But today, Kim, we've gotten to a point at the symposium whereby the NFL is taking 5 days to even go as far as to have an entire day dealing with conduct. And then to go beyond that, where they pull out a banana and they describe it and they say, okay, this is your penis, and this is a condom, and this is how you apply it.
It's at that level now that the
National Football League has had to go, along with the Players Association, to wake up these guys to what it means to be a responsible individual and accountable for your actions.
Well, I'm hoping they'll take it even further, and I hope, well, as far as they can, and I'm hoping that these gentlemen are paying attention to, you know, you want to go around, and just because everything is thrown in your face and people are trying to give you so much, you should see by example that you are not exempt from being caught up in something that is not for your good. You know, all these women throwing themselves at you, and you know what's going to happen. And I'm not going to harp on the women because God knows I have a whole lot to say about some of these women.
Yeah, groupiesville. But it's, you know, each sport has its share of groupies, but most of the NFL has,
you know,
they're professionals.
They should
now
tell these guys is, why are you sitting there thinking about how many women I had? Steve McNair had a woman. He's dead now. Hello. Reggie Wayne had a woman. She has $90,000 of outstanding credit card charges. Now he wants to say fraud, and she's gone, but we've had an affair, and now Reggie Wayne's wife is looking at him.
Yeah.
While you're out there thinking about all these other side deals and curricular activities, think about, before you do it, think about, what if I get caught?
Yeah. Ray, what about paparazzi, man? I think we're at that point.
Yeah, there's no doubt. As a matter of fact, yesterday, Dave, I was having the same conversation about paparazzi, and I really believe because of the way Roger Goodell, and I keep going back to Michael Vick, Roger Goodell has put this out about who, where, and how Michael should live his life within his rules, otherwise there'll be consequences. I think the paparazzi, not necessarily trying to, you know, cause that much of a problem, but at the same time trying to build their business, it's good for their business to be the one who comes up with the picture that, as a matter of fact, actually convinced Michael Vick of being in the company of this man. And they now, TMZ, has a segment of their program that's going to deal with a professional athlete. So some of these things that we talk about, the decision-makings, and again, I want to go back to my 17-year-old son, that sometimes a person just feels that, and it's not the, I don't think it's the entitlement. I just think, well, you know, I'm just going to do this one thing this one time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, law-abiding citizens, every day of their lives, we make a choice not to break the law. And it's just sometimes, I don't know what it is about, sometimes, and my son said it to me, and it really disturbed me. He said, but only this one time, I just did this one thing. And sometimes I have to break it down to him like this. You know, people only shoot
a person one time to kill him, and that's murder. You know, you can only get in one car accident, and, you know, you could happen to lose your life. I take it to the extremes, but it could possibly happen to that degree, and I don't want that to happen to my son or his friends. You can only make a bad choice one time, and it can end all.
That's all
you know?
It takes. That's all it takes.
Yes, yes. So, David, you know, when you look at, you know, paparazzi, the NFL, we're getting there. You know, paparazzi, TMZ has already started covering the NBA. So now it's going to be time this year for the NFL. I think it'll be the first season of which, you know, paparazzi is going to be in full effect, you know, targeting the NFL athletes. So that's going to bring some new attention to the league, to the brand, and some new criticism too, you know, and the microscope will be expanded beyond just, you know, on the field and every now and then. It'll be everywhere.
Yeah, well, I think that we have certainly reached that point. I mean, just in regards to all of the things that have occurred over the course of this offseason, I, for one, am glad that the training camp is about to start because, you know, being a former player myself, you know, as you are, Ray, we wear this brand every day. And I'm getting tired of answering the question in regards to what these guys, what in the hell these guys are thinking.
What in the
and so I'm looking forward to these dog days of training camp. The Dallas Cowboys, I believe, go to camp first. That's going to be on July the 24th, and everybody else will follow right afterwards. So
how about them Cowboys?
Yeah, that's right. You're Cowboys. We're some 3 weeks away now from training camps beginning across the country. And all these guys being locked in that cocoon for 6 weeks. We want to get into that discussion, in fact, guys, next week, and talk about the stresses associated with the dog days of training camp and what that does to relationships, particularly for those players that are married and have families, Ray. And we want to dig into that real deep. And, you know, of course, as always, we never have enough time when we do our show. This 1 hour just blazes by, and so we've reached that point where I've got to ask you guys for your final comments. So, Kim, we'll give you the first go.
Well, you know, I'm hoping that everybody just, especially in the NFL, realizes that they are role models, and they need to just make better choices and better decisions, and hopefully we'll get past all of this nonsense.
All right. Dr. Ray?
I think I just want to kind of get people to understand that, you know, football is just a game. It's what these athletes, it's what they do. It's not who they are. And they are human beings, and they have feelings. And I ask that everybody out there today would pray for Randall Cunningham and his family and the loss of his young son.
Amen. And I will dovetail on that, too. As we've begun the show, we will end the show by asking all of you fans, thanking you, number one, for joining us today at Double Time with Double D. But I'm asking all of you to remember Pastor Ray Cunningham and his wife Felicity and their three other children as they mourn the death of their son and brother, young three-year-old Christian. You've been listening to Double Time with Double D. We thank you again. And, of course, as always, there would be no Double Time without you, the fans. So we thank you. I thank my guests, Ray Ellis, for coming on. I thank my legal analyst, Kim Harper. We thank Dion back there in the studio. And we also thank David Herman for his question and comment, which was a great one. But in like said, we look forward to another discussion next week where we begin to talk about the dog days. But until then, God bless you. Take care. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for joining Dave Duerson for Double Time with Double D. We'll be back again next Thursday at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern for another look inside the game, words of inspiration, and more on the Voice America Sports Channel. Game's on again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.